Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. This is Tim Reedy. I'm joined this week by Justin Catanoso, author of My Cousin the Saint, A Search for Faith, Family, and Miracles. Welcome, Justin.
Hello, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Justin flew up today from North Carolina, not just for the show. He's here for the weekend. But now, you're a business journalist, correct?
I am, yes.
You have written this book, which came out, is published by William Morrow, and tells the story of your grandfather's cousin. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. Padre Gaetano Catanoso.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's correct. Now, maybe you can just tell us, who was he and how did you find out about his story?
Well, he was a parish priest in southern Italy. He was born in 1879 in a little village, same village as my grandfather. He was ordained in 1902, and he spent 60 years as a priest. These were 60 of some of the worst years in the history of southern Italy. Unbelievable poverty, an earthquake in 1908 that was devastating to Calabria and Sicily. Two world wars, the rise of the mafia, and he was on the front lines of all of this. He was an incredible servant. He was incredibly devout. He was remarkably humble, and what he did was give. He served these people with schools that he opened, with orphanages, with old age homes. In the mid-30s, he founded an order of nuns called the Sisters of St. Veronica of the Holy Face. He recruited these poor girls and women from the mountain regions who were poor and humble like him to continue his mission outreach. And he did this kind of service until the day he died, really, in 1963.
And you didn't know about him growing up.
I didn't know a thing about him until about 7 or 8 years ago. And it's pretty typical. You know, my grandfather emigrated to this country about 100 years ago. And in doing so, he really cut all ties with his relatives back in Italy, including this cousin, Gaetano Catanoso. So he went on to this incredible life of service, Gaetano, and was nominated. His cause was put into play in 1980 by the bishop in Reggio Calabria. That process came to fruition with the help of Pope John Paul II. The beatification was in 1997. We didn't even know about it, Tim. You know, all the Catanosos in America are having a day in May of 1997, like any day that you forget. And one of our relatives was beatified that day in St. Peter's Square by the great Pope, John Paul II. I got a note from my mother in probably 2000, 2001, where she had gotten some information about this person, who said in a little bit of a description of his life that he had already been credited with a miracle, that he had been beatified, and that he needed one more miracle for canonization. And I didn't believe it. I mean, I thought it was crazy that there would be a Catanoso that would possibly be a saint. I figured he probably is not related. And if he was related, he had figured out some way to slip in a back door. So that's how I learned about him.
At that point in your life, what was your relationship to the church? Right? What was your own personal faith?
Lapsed, mm-hmm. to put it bluntly. I was born Catholic, baptized, confirmed. I went to Catholic high school, Wildwood Catholic. But I fell away from the church pretty completely not too long after high school. I didn't marry a Catholic, and we have spent the better part of the last 20 years or so knocking around to different Protestant churches, largely. But really, not much going on with me in the Catholic faith until this saint entered my life.
Now, when you found out about the story about your cousin, what was your immediate reaction, and how did the book come about from there?
Well, again, my immediate reaction was to ignore it because I couldn't really relate to it. A lapsed Catholic, I never knew that this guy existed. I wasn't really quite sure that he was related. And then a series of things happened over the next couple of years that really brought things into focus. And the first was that I got an email from out of the blue from a relative who I didn't know, a Giovanna Catanoso, who basically said, I found your name online. I wonder if we're related. I responded to her. I sent her a photograph. She wrote back and said, I've showed this picture to everyone. There's no doubt. We are related. And after that, my wife and I planned a trip to southern Italy to visit with these relatives, which took place about 5 years ago. We had an incredible reunion with these people we had never met. You would have thought that we were neighbors. They were so warm and welcoming. And in the process of spending a weekend in Reggio Calabria, we learned that the saint was for real. We learned about his life. We went to his church. We met some of his nuns who are still active and still pursuing his mission. And we learned that he was an extraordinary guy And we also learned that he was one miracle away from canonization. And what happened over the next year is that that miracle was approved, and we all went back for the canonization. We were all in St. Peter's Square on October the 23rd, 2005, for the most remarkable Catholic ritual that the Church puts on. And it was the very first canonization by Pope Benedict XVI, and it was really, really an incredible thing to experience.
Now, in your book, you write about the saint-making process, and it's something that most average Catholics, you know vaguely about, but certainly didn't have the kind of up-close and personal connection that you did. What was that like?
It was bracing and it was heartening because you're right, Tim. Most Catholics, most people have no clue how one becomes a saint. It is a very rigorous process, and it is intellectual, it is spiritual, it is medical. And the Church, for something as mystical as saint making, tries to make this as empirical as possible. It really is research-based, and it is largely about the life. You know, there's so much attention that goes to the miracles and to the mysticism and to the prayer life. But really, if you have not lived a life of heroic virtue, if you've not lived a consistent life of sacrifice and prayer and devotion, you aren't going to be a saint. And that takes a long, long time. So I did a lot of reading on this, but I also got to go to the Vatican. I interviewed three members of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, which was a pretty cool thing to do, and heard from them what the process is like, how rigorous it is, how few people make it through, what a miracle really is and what it isn't, how there are doctors involved in deciding what is a miracle and what isn't a miracle, and the role that the Pope plays. It's very involved. If it goes quickly, it'll take 20 to 25 years. A lot of these causes take 50 years or longer, though.
You mentioned the second miracle attributed to your cousin. How did that come about? Maybe you can describe the circumstances there.
Yeah, you know, during the research for my book, I actually got to meet this woman who was the recipient of the second Vatican-certified miracle. Her name was Anna Pangallo, and she was a peasant woman from a little rural town called Roccaforte del Greco in Reggio Calabria. She was about 54 years old in 2002, I believe, when she contracted an awful, awful form of bacterial meningitis that really should have killed her. She went 4 days without any kind of treatment. When she finally got into the hospital, she had lapsed into a coma. They were treating her, but after a couple days, the doctors told the family that there was absolutely no hope, that she was not going to survive, and they needed to prepare for her death. Anna was well known by the nuns, Padre Gaetano's nuns, and actually had gone to one of his elementary schools as a kid. So the husband called the Church and asked for the Mother Superior and told her what was going on. And her advice was to start a prayer vigil 24 hours around the clock in Roccaforte del Greco, and that the nuns would pray nonstop at the church in Reggio Calabria. They did this for 9 days. And on that ninth day, Anna rose from her coma. And the doctors were stunned. They thought that she would have incredible brain damage. You know, it is a disease of the brain. And it turned out that she had none. And as the days went on and as she began to recover more, the doctors realized that not only had she survived this meningitis, but it appeared that she had never been sick. There was no medical explanation for why she got better. They bundled all this research up, all these medical records up. They sent it off to the Vatican, and before long, that miracle was approved.
Now, this is obviously a story in part about your cousin, but it's also a story about yourself and your own family and your grandfather. Now, your grandfather plays a big part in the story, but he didn't have much connection with his cousin. Is that correct?
You know, not much at all. He left the village where they were both born when he was 16 years old. Gaetano had already sort of gone down the mountain to go into seminary. The point in telling my grandfather's story in this book as an Italian immigrant to this country and starting a family of Italian Americans was to explain why it is that we Catanosos in America could sort of go about our merry way without knowing that this guy existed in Calabria, that Gaetano Catanoso was living this life of heroic virtue and was on the road to sainthood. And it's a difficult thing to think that you would not be a part of and not be supportive of and not be advocating. This is a blood relative who we all would have embraced and supported if we could, but this is what happens when families are divided by immigration. And there really was this idea that I was going to build this bridge and go back, and I was going to meet this family, and I was going to bring, however late, Padre Gaetano Catanoso back into the life of his American relatives.
And in the end, in 2005, you and many of your American relatives attended the canonization ceremony.
Yeah, we were all there. It was pretty remarkable. There were 60 of us.
Oh, that's great.
In St. Peter's Square, along with about 100,000 other folks.
Now, from the time that you first heard this story in 2000, 2001 to 2005, what was your own faith journey along during that period?
You know, there was a thing that happened. You know, my wife and I took our daughters to Italy in 2003, late 2003. A few months after we returned, my brother Alan was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. He was a few years older than me. My mother prayed every day for a miracle for Alan. That was the only thing that was going to save him. And I was pretty stone cold to that kind of prayer. Alan was praying for a miracle as well. He wore a medal of Padre Gaetano around his neck every day. Tim, I'm a journalist. I'm very skeptical. I'm very fact-based. I had been a science writer. I knew how sick Alan was, and I knew that the doctors couldn't help him at Johns Hopkins. And when Alan died at the end of that year, there was an emptiness in me and a skepticism and perhaps even a cynicism about faith. I thought it was pointless, and what good was it to have a saint in the family if he can't deliver for us? You know, sort of a selfish thought in that way. I'm sure that thought passed through my mother's mind as well. But not too long after Alan died, we learned about this canonization, and it was like an electrical shock to us. It was like someone had pulled the curtains of gloom back so the sun could shine again. All of a sudden, we were looking ahead instead of looking back. And when we were there in St. Peter's Square that morning on October the 23rd, 2005, the entire ceremony was in languages that we couldn't understand. It was only in the languages of the people that were being canonized. And there were no English-speaking people that day. But there was one word that we could understand, and it was Catenoso. And it was spoken by the Pope again and again, and it floated out over that crowd like a prayer. And I looked at my mother, and she her hand over her heart, and my Aunt Leona's crying. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a skeptic. I'm a cynic. It's hard to maintain that point of view in a place as holy as St. Peter's Square during a canonization. And I thought to myself, maybe this is our miracle. Maybe this is the gift that we've got from this saint. And that's what persuaded me that I needed to know more about him, and I needed to know if I had anything to build on from the Catholic faith that I was born into. And I vowed at that moment that I would go back to church, and I would try to understand my Catholic faith better as a way of trying to understand St. Gaetano Catenoso better.
The cause of your cousin was started under John Paul II.
Yes.
But as you say, the final canonization was, yes, Pope Benedict. It's interesting that the juxtaposition, the contrast between the two of them and the way they approached. I mean, John Paul canonized more saints than
he did,
I think, any other pope combined
in the last 400 years.
Yes. and Benedict has not done as much of
He's
that.
Not.
Now, why would you make the case that it's important for to have saints, to have stories of people who have lived extraordinary holy lives?
You know, you raise a really important point, Tim, that I really hope people will understand. And, you know, John Paul, I believe, gets a bad rap for the canonizations that he did. He did 483 in the 26 years that he was pope. The fact of the matter is 300 of those were done in very large groups of martyrs. Mm. And there were really just over 100 individual canonizations. So, you know, you divide that into 26, it's what, 4 or 5 a year, which is not an extraordinary number. But here's the point with John Paul, and it's why he wanted to recognize people like Gaetano Catenoso. He felt that the canonization process had gotten too bogged down, that the saints that were being named were too old, 100 years old, 200 years old, 300 years old. We couldn't relate to them anymore. Saints are meant to be role models. You want to relate to them, and he wanted them in all parts of the world, not just in Western Europe, not just in our popular areas of France or Great Britain or places like that. He wanted them in these remote areas, not only Reggio Calabria, but in Africa, in South America, in Central America, in Asia. And so he opened up this process to encourage the recognition of Catholic heroes as a way of reigniting the faith where it was under siege all over the world. It was an incredible strategy, and it's one that worked, quite frankly.
And you've experienced this, obviously, firsthand. I mean, you've done a lot of research into the life of your cousin.
Yeah.
And obviously somebody who lived a long time ago, but still kind of within a fair amount of time, it seems kind of within history's reach. What was that like?
He died in 1963, so I was alive at that time. Of course, I didn't know him, but when I did my research, I went back to Italy for a month. I spent a lot of time with my Catenoso relatives in Reggio Calabria. Many of the older relatives knew him, and they knew him when they were young adults. His impression on them, his impact on them, is so palpable on a day-to-day basis that it was so great to see. They would all refer to him as a point of reference, and they lived their life according to the example that he led. I saw that not only in my relatives that were my parents' age, but also in my contemporaries and in their children. He has left this rich legacy for this family and really for the people of Reggio Calabria to continue to follow. Again, he only died, you know, less than 50 years ago. So he is remembered quite well there, and he's a local hero.
Now, during this process, did you discover any other saints that you've kind of continued to seek their intercession?
You know, I read Jim Martin's book in one of the early parts of doing my research, My Life with the Saints. So I learned about all of Jim's favorite saints, which was great. And, you know, but I got to tell you, I'm a faithful guy and I'm a family guy. And the saint that I think about the most and the saint that I pray to every night and every morning is Gaetano Cattaneo.
Well, we'll end there with on that note. But again, the book is My Cousin the Saint, A Search for Faith, Family, and Miracles. The author is Justin Cattaneo. And you can get this. It's William Morrow. It's when was the publication date?
Less than a year ago. It came out last May, and the paperback is due out in June.
Due out in June. Okay, good. Well, Justin, thanks so much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you again for joining us for this week's podcast. Just a reminder to check out our new expanded online edition, which includes weekly news items under Signs of the Times, even in our off weeks, and an expanded books and culture section, which this week includes reviews of the Kindle 2 and a discussion of papal collegiality. You can check that out at americanmagazine.org/culture. We'll thank Bill McGarvey, who provides music for this week's show. Learn more about him at billmcgarvey.com. This is Tim Reedy from America Magazine.